Coming to you live from the west side of the High Street Bridge, it's The Nate Darling Show.
Call me sir, goddammit.
With Jason Casey and Kareem Daniels. And now, trust him. He's a professional.
Pardon my French, but you're an asshole.
Here's Nate.
Hey, everybody. Welcome on in to another episode of The Nate Darling Show. I am your host, Nate Darling. With me, as always, Jason. Hello.
What's going down?
And Kareem.
Hello, hello, hello.
Oh, we got some stuff to get to our last show of February 2019.
Two down.
Black History Month won't be over fast enough.
Mm-hmm. coming up on the show today, we've got R. Kelly's update. We asked the question, what's your NFL owner up to? And how much information is too much information in the news story?
Well,
yeah. I read something that I was like, that might be too many details. Mm-hmm. Too many details, and we'll get to all of that. But before we do, Jason, how was your week?
It was pretty cool, you know, just getting back to normal since my in-laws left.
Okay.
So
they went they went back to the snowy north?
To then leave to Florida.
Fantastic.
Being retired has its
perks. Oh, yes, yes.
You know, normal shit. Had a show on Saturday night.
Yeah, sorry, I couldn't make that.
Yeah, no, I know.
Sorry, Facebook post. I almost commented, but I'm like, you know, not necessary.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny because like that's so true of any improviser.
It is, but I never promised you I was going to the show.
No, you didn't. But there's a lot of people out there.
Oh yeah, improv. Yeah, that sounds great. I'll be right over.
Oh yeah, hey, no, yeah. Oh hey, you still doing that little show? You still doing that little show? little show, shit, man.
It was a big weekend at the Comedy Spot. You were in Anti-Cooperation League on Saturday. Sunday night, Rancid Butter, the Marcus Allen show, was live from the Comedy Spot after the Oscars.
They were. Mm-hmm.
It's good times.
Yeah. Anything that like takes place after 5:30 or 6:30, like I have like a hard out.
That's what she said.
Every night. I wanted to go because that sounded pretty cool to go hang out there, but CJ goes to bed at like 7:30.
It's Sunday night. It's a school night for you.
It is. I'm so old.
Kareem, how about you? Did you have a successful week?
I had a good work week for the most part. Went to the Black Expo on Saturday and took a bunch of pictures, for the project.
Okay. Did anybody have a hat like Mahershala Ali's?
No.
Okay. So that's a Mahershala Ali thing and not a black thing?
Yeah, I don't remember seeing anybody with that hat on. I did buy a hat. I bought a Stetson.
Oh.
Yeah. This weekend. And I bought this All Power to the People sweatshirt that I have on. I bought two.
That's a cool sweatshirt.
And Barbara from the Brick House stole the other one.
Oh.
Like, I walked in with it on.
Was that my late birthday present?
She was like, I want that sweatshirt. That's like, really?
Here's a question. Could I get away with wearing that?
Yes.
Okay. Because here's the thing. I, not knowing what it is, it just looks like a cool sweatshirt.
Yes. Because it's all power to all people.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So that's what it means.
It's like all lives matter?
Yeah, no.
No.
Because, actually when I had it on, I was in the presence of two of the former Sacramento Black Panthers.
Okay.
And so Umawali ran down the all power to the people. So white people were included. So like all power to all people.
Well, thanks.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Glad we can be part of the club.
Well, you know.
there was a group that was
the White Panthers.
I don't know if they were called the White Panthers, but there was a group that was like a group that supported. So
in Detroit, I think is where they were.
Yeah,
it's nice to hear that because so often the way it's set up and the way people hear it is white people are bad, white people are terrible. And no one's saying that. Yeah. Well, some people are
saying
that.
Some people are saying it.
Yeah. Mostly white people, ironically.
Yeah.
Yeah, that are.
So remember, racist. I always tell y'all the story. There was a white woman who was killed during the Civil Rights Movement, who, Viola Louisa, who actually was one of the things that made the FBI, you know, brought the FBI into the situation. Her and, Turner and Sweeney.
Yeah.
So yeah, you know, so that, and then, dealing with my mom. Oh, it was a crazy week, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a very busy week. It was, last week was my birthday. And
what?
Yeah, another year older. And Leslie took the week off from work to help me get a project underway, which is underway, and we're not quite ready to talk about it yet.
Mm-hmm.
Soon.
Yeah, just
very
keep listening.
Soon.
Yeah, like, it'll be that day.
It will affect this show.
Like.
And many others.
Indefinitely.
It's very exciting news. And that progressed along at an incredibly rapid rate last week and into this week. So maybe next week.
Maybe.
Maybe. Also some very exciting personal news, which I'm not yet ready to share yet either. That I think we'll have a definite update on next week. Not Friday, because we record that right after this show. Next week. Next week, the personal thing, I can say almost definitely I will say something.
Boom.
The other thing, I'd say we're 50-50 on that one.
50-50.
A big shout out to Walt Gray from ABC 10. Walt Gray, shouted out to the Nate Darling Show.
What?
Yeah, on Facebook this morning, I was surprised, and he reminded me of something that I had said, and I think it was when Walt had his radio show on the Eagle called The Walt Gray Show. It's a very short-lived and underappreciated offering. He wrote this morning on Facebook, this would be Monday morning, in the words of ex-KCRA and Fox 40 creative producer Nate Darling, and this is the quote that I did, and I don't think it reads as well as it did when I said it, and the quote is, "Walt Gray isn't just good, he's good enough." And then he tagged ABC10 and the Nate Darling Show. So I welcomed everybody onto Facebook who checked out the Facebook page, because that's where it sent people. And hopefully a few of them listening tonight. So I hope you enjoy the show. We've got a lot to get to, and always tongue in cheek with what we're saying. And I love Walt Gray. Walt Gray's one of the good ones.
He's one of the good ones.
He's very funny, very clever, very talented, and he gets the joke.
Yes.
Every damn time.
Every damn time. He's good enough. It was basically because I would listen to their promos and their stuff that they were doing on the air, and I just got this vibe that the station didn't really put what they should have into it and really let him loose to be. They hired a personality, and then they said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, not so much personality." Which I think is one of the reasons why radio is dying the slow death that it is.
Oh, because everybody's told to just, like, keep their mouth shut and just sit.
Play the hits.
Play the hits.
Play the hits. Everybody play the hits.
And only read AP articles from the weird non-scientific
section.
Hey,
go ahead and run all of your bits by us 2 days ahead of time for approval.
Yeah.
Nothing fresher than two-day-old stuff, huh?
Yeah. And make sure it's just AP articles, you know, only, just the weird stuff.
The funny thing about that is we're recording on Monday for the Wednesday show. And we'll be recording the Friday show right after this, so it's going to be way older than that.
Way old.
I'm a gigantic hypocrite.
Yeah, well, you know, you do the Crunchwrap.
If you want fresh stuff, check out the Morning Crunchwrap. That's fresh every morning.
That's fresh every morning, just like if you went to Taco Bell.
Mm.
And that's questionable.
No, that's the AM Crunchwrap.
Oh, yeah.
I'm giving you the Morning Crunchwrap.
I
it's
see.
Different.
I see.
One of them is a tortilla with tremendously tasty, but not necessarily great for you items inside, and the other one is a short podcast.
And then there's also the Morning Podcast, where you eat it and you just feel terrible about yourself.
Oh, yeah.
You said the morning, but your soul dying.
It was one of those weird things. All right, let's get to the Oscars.
Woo!
Oh, it was exciting. Do you know who the host was? There was no host.
Nobody.
And everybody seemed generally surprised with what they were saying.
It was a little loosey-goosey. Not going to lie, I watched the whole thing with Leslie. She beat me in prediction. She had 11 right. I only got 9. And here's where she bested me. The sound editing awards that went to Bohemian Rhapsody. That is where... Those are the two that she had that were different than mine, because otherwise we offset each other. And as someone on Twitter said, hey, some guy just won for sound editing for putting Queen music in a Queen movie. And I don't care what anybody says, A Quiet Place deserved the Oscar for sound, because every sound in that film had such impact.
Was that nominated?
It was. That was one of the ones that was nominated.
Not for
editing. I think it was for mixing. Either for mixing or for editing.
And then Avengers is, of course, there too, right?
I don't recall.
It doesn't matter. Like, it was kind of like with First Man winning for special effects.
Sure.
You know, against Avengers and stuff like that.
Yeah, I picked that one wrong too.
Alex and I were watching with my wife were watching it last night, and he's like, "Well, the reason that won," and I guarantee you this is the reason that it won, is because it was visual effects in support of the story. Like, it wasn't like the spectacle aspect of it; it was to just enhance the story of what was happening.
Well, that's kind of a bullshit argument, because without the visual effects, Thanos isn't very frightening at all.
Right, but there is. It had to look realistic. Like, there's nothing to compare what Thanos really looks like.
That's true.
Like, he's just a made-up thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is a really, layered.
But so
that's
were
just
the...
That's what he said. I mean...
The rhinos charging at each other in Wakanda was also...
Okay,
what a rhino looks like.
The reason that I don't think it even should have deserved it at all is because it's like one or two scenes, but it's where... Hulk Buster suit was there, and is it Mark Ruffalo?
Yes.
Like, the effects were so horrible on that piece of the movie that, like, it negates how awesome everything, like, it was so horrible.
I'm not gonna, I didn't see First Man, so I don't know.
But give me it. Avengers, like that, the Hulk Buster,
Ruffalo. There were moments.
Yeah.
There were moments.
That was pretty horrible. It was, and yeah.
It was a lot of stuff. Kareem, did you watch the Oscars?
No.
Okay. Yeah. It was a very black Oscars last night.
I know. The one time I don't watch it actually is.
So you double-crossed yourself.
Yes. I didn't think any black people would win, so.
Well, a lot of them did. I will say, though, the best thing about the Oscars for me was they dropped the trailer for The Irishman. Mm. Now, we didn't find out really much of anything about The Irishman. It was just they used a spent shell case and falling through the screen to be the eye in different names, like Martin Scorsese, Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, Joe Pesci, Harvey Keitel.
What?
Are all in The Irishman. And it's coming out this fall in theaters and on Netflix.
What? Really? No wonder Netflix is like, fuck you, Disney.
Netflix, here's the thing, Netflix, I guarantee you Netflix is doing this and putting these Netflix movies in theaters for whatever run they have, because otherwise, if they don't, then someone can go, well, Netflix isn't really movies, it's just streaming videos, so it doesn't belong on the Oscars.
Yeah.
So, by putting it out in the theater, it's a movie.
It's a movie.
So they put it out long enough to be nominated.
The movie Martin Scorsese, and I broke this down on the Crunchwrap Monday morning. Go back and listen to it on natedarlingshow.com/. You can find it there. slash something.
Just Crunchwrap.
Yeah, it's right there. Just scroll down. It's Monday. There's like three things. If you're listening now, you may have to scroll back three posts to find it.
Ooh.
You can do it.
Do it.
You can do it. Use the scroll wheel on your mouse.
Ooh, be careful and gentle.
Yeah, be very careful. But that was the most exciting moment of the night for me. I mean, yeah, the Queen opening of the Oscars was fantastic with Adam Lambert. That was a great way to kick it off. Mm. I was not as excited about the three women as my wife was, because Tina Fey is funny in those situations. Amy Poehler is hit or miss, and Maya Rudolph is never funny.
No.
I mean, her dress was a little amusing.
What did they do? See, I missed the first, I think, 45 minutes of the show.
Oh, so you missed Queen.
Yeah, I missed Queen for sure.
You missed the best part. It was basically what a host would do. Three of them came out and did what a host would do just as a setup. It was like a 5-minute thing. It wasn't anything big.
So they did the intro.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, they did the intro to the whole thing. And they did a fine job. There was no issue with that.
Because I think Julia Roberts was not aware that she was closing the show.
Yeah. Yeah, there were a lot of things. The lady from The Favorite wasn't aware she was going to beat Glenn Close either.
Yeah, I know, no, right?
Yeah, I did see that highlight.
Rami Malek was unaware that the stage ended right there as he fell off the stage after the show.
Oops.
He's okay, everybody. He's okay. He is the best actor. He won Best Actor. Unbelievable.
That was nuts.
Some people were very upset about Green Book winning the Best Picture.
That was because the family wasn't behind the movie.
Yeah. One of the people that was upset about that was Spike Lee.
Of course he's going to be upset.
Spike Lee, when it was announced, stood up and turned his back on the stage. And then afterwards, it's a really awkward exchange. I'm not going to play it here because it doesn't play as well unless you see it. But they're asking him after the ceremony, you know, what did you think of that? And he walks off and blah, blah, blah. And basically, he broke it down to a ref making a bad call.
Yeah. He said the family wasn't happy with the movie and the way the movie portrayed partly his relationship with the family and then the relationship between the white guy and the black guy.
Here's what I will say. When everyone went up on stage for the Green Book, I said, that's an awful lot of white people.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I said, too. I was like, wow.
I was like, how are all the writers of this white?
So
most of the stars.
Yeah. So the son of the guy is the person who, I think, who, if I remember correctly, was the person who was behind the movie.
Mm.
The son of the white guy.
Sure.
So, and like I said, the black guy, his family wasn't behind it at all. So they took issue with the movie. So the movie did well, but it didn't do as good as it could have because of that.
Yeah. In terms of commercial success, it didn't really do that great. It did get a little bit of a resurgence after the Golden Globes.
Yeah.
But, and we'll get more of a resurgence now because of this, but either way, one of Spike Lee's jokes after was every time someone gets driven around, I get screwed. So speaking of Spike Lee, let's take a listen to his acceptance speech when he won his first Oscar for Best Director for BlacKkKlansman.
I want to thank Tanya, Jack, and Satchel. The word today is irony, the date, the 24th, the month, February, which also happens to be the shortest month of the year.
He's reading off of handwritten notes, and clearly he's having an issue reading his own handwriting.
Yeah.
He's holding it down low, like mid-thigh level, and is bent over.
He can't afford to be bent over.
As if he's ready to receive a prostate check. I should never have paused that. I've been hoisted on my own petard. He went on to talk about being on the right side of history, make the moral choice between love versus hate, and do the right thing, as he was talking about the 2020 election being right around the corner. And someone did not take kindly to that.
Who was that?
Oh, at Real Donald Trump.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah,
that dude.
He tweeted this morning, February 25th. Sorry, Monday morning. Haha. Be nice if Spike Lee could read his notes, or better yet, not have to use notes at all. See, that part I thought, okay, I'm on board, sir. Let's go. When doing his racist hit on your president, who has done more for African Americans, criminal justice reform, lowest unemployment numbers in history, tax cuts, etc., than almost any other prez! Exclamation point. Kareem, thoughts?
So I'm still trying to figure out what he said that was racist.
Well, basically, he didn't say anything racist. It was just more along the lines of moral.
Love, not hate. That's racist?
Apparently it is.
Well, I mean, if you're black, it's definitely racist.
Here's what I will say. Sometimes the things you say more about you than the person you're saying them about.
That is true.
Just throwing that out there. Although I was on board with him for a minute. I was right there with him when he was talking about Spike Lee not being able to read his notes.
I saw who was it that I that took the picture?
Call him a low rent amateur who can't read his own handwriting.
No, was it Joe? It might have been Jordan Peele, right? He was one that did Get Out, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he took a picture of Spike Lee as he was scribbling something on a piece of paper, and he went over and asked. Man, it wasn't Jordan Peele. It was somebody else. Anyhow, he wrote that acceptance speech at the Oscars like 10 minutes before he won that award.
He probably didn't think he was going to win
anything.
Well, then speak off the top of your head and from your heart, my friend.
Yeah.
Because you looked bad.
I think it's funny that one of the fun things is that Spike Lee spoke out about Green Book, and I don't know if you knew it, but Boots Riley called him out about
Black Klansman.
Oh, yeah.
Because like
it's like black people are all different with different ideas about things.
No.
And not just this monolith of black people.
I thought all black people believe the same stuff.
Oh.
Except for the good ones.
So, yeah, the Oscars are over and I don't care.
Yeah.
Don't care. But, you know, I watched it. It was interesting. Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper.
I think I made myself a sandwich.
It was really good. You know what I found interesting about it was the idea. I saw how they were setting it up, and as someone who shoots video, I was really interested in what they were doing because they did something very different for that. They did a single camera shoot, and the camera was on stage pointed out toward the audience, and it moved from one to the other. And other than a couple of little bobbles in the movement, it was all done really, really well. And it was just a very different, much more intimate perspective, which, of course, came through because you were on stage with them. It wasn't I'm watching them on stage. I'm on stage with them. And people are like, they must have a thing going. They're acting.
I thought it was really funny because on Good Due Day on CNN this morning, the ladies were also, there's something going on. I can't believe, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Just because you wanted to get with Bradley Cooper right then at that moment, don't be like putting that on Lady Gaga.
Yeah. They're actors.
Yeah.
Doing acting. And then someone put out publication or website put out this thing. It's like, it was all rehearsed or faked. Well, yeah, of course it was rehearsed.
Yeah.
They rehearsed a performance because it was going to be to a huge television audience.
They've already been in a movie together, so they've already established chemistry.
And he's shown up at some of her concerts to do songs.
Yes, so it's not...
Yeah, I don't know why anyone was surprised by this.
Yes.
I was like...
Slow news day.
That was wishful thinking on their part.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so steamy, I can't even show it up here. To change my granny panties. I gotta change my depends.
Oh boy.
Man, it's like the Everglades down in my pants right now.
I gotta change my depends. My poise. Ooh, I have lost my poise.
I think I know where Ponce de Leon's fountain is.
Oh. That's a good one. That's some smart. You don't get that smart humor on just any show.
Yeah, no.
Yep. All right. So this is the story that made me go, are there too many details?
Let's hear it.
So let me give you a little bit of background.
All right.
Former Good Day Sacramento anchor, and he's been gone from Sacramento for a while,
yeah.
Chris Burrus, and he went on, he worked in New York, and he, at the time of his death, was working at KTLA in Los Angeles.
And one of the number one markets, right?
He has worked in the top two markets in the country. He passed away December 27th at the age of 43. And we didn't know a whole lot about it when it happened, other than he was found unresponsive in a motel room in Glendale, which was weird, but okay. So here's the story from People magazine. So this made it to People magazine, at least online.
Which you can get on the grocery store at, like, under eye level.
Sure. Yeah, but this isn't the story. Yeah. This is basically what I would expect from a story like this. Okay. KTLA 5 morning news anchor Chris Burrus, cause of death has been revealed. Burrus was found to have died from methamphetamine toxicity, according to a release from the Los Angeles County Department of Medical Examiner Coroner on Friday. Other contributing factors included hypertensive and atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease. His death has been determined an accident. 2 days after Christmas, Burrus was found unresponsive at a Days Inn hotel in Glendale. After authorities were called, he was taken to the hospital and pronounced dead at 2:06 p.m. He was 43. So that was most of it. And then there's some background and some quotes about the police when they showed up and how that all went. So that's pretty much what I would expect from a news story. Now, locally, the Sacramento Bee, ex-Good Day Sacramento anchor died of overdose during sexual encounter, coroner says. Their story says the coroner's report said Burrus overdosed during a sexual encounter at a Days Inn. That's the Los Angeles Times reported. A man called the Glendale Police Department at 1:14 p.m. to say Burrus had passed out and possibly overdosed. Attempts at CPR by both the man in the room and the paramedics who arrived later proved unsuccessful, and Burrus died at the hospital. He left behind a wife and a 9-year-old daughter, and then they list his other contributing factors. That's even more detail that I don't know that we needed.
Yeah.
Now we know, okay, he was there, whatever. Now we go to our local news talk station, KFBK. And I only saw this because John Ross, owner of the Stab Comedy Theater, commented on it. You know, when one of your friends comments on something, you see it. So I saw it and I'm like, oh, okay. I hadn't heard what the cause of death was. Let me see. Here's their story. And listener discretion is advised if you're sensitive.
Yeah, trigger warning.
You might be triggered by this. And this, I'm going to read it exactly as it's presented on their site. And this was posted on their Facebook page with no warning. There's no warning on the story about any sort of content here. KTLA news anchor Chris Burrus died of an accidental methamphetamine overdose. According to the coroner's report, Burrus was having a sexual encounter with a man at a motel in Glendale on December 27th when he administered several drugs. The drugs were administered anally, and he wore a bondage face mask that was laced with a recreational drug known as poppers. The man he was with called 911 and administered CPR after Burrus began throwing up and lost consciousness. Burrus, who was previously an anchor at CBS 13 in Good Day Sacramento, was taken to a hospital where he passed away at the age of 43. So wow. So I ask you, too much detail?
That was too much.
Where did we cross the line on detail? Because the B, basically taking the LA Times report, had more detail than people did. This is, I mean, you can go to the coroner's report and read the coroner's report if you want, and all the gory details are going to be there.
Yeah. That was kind of vindictive.
Yeah.
It was weird. And this was posted on a Friday afternoon at like 5 p.m. And it made me wonder, because if it were posted like late at night or on a weekend, I'd be like, oh, okay, there was no one around. It was someone inexperienced who put this up. Someone had to look at this at some point.
Oh, no, they wanted to.
And I actually copied the text from the original one because I thought, oh, they're going to see people's comments on this and they're going to change this. They have not, as of right now.
They have not changed it.
They have not changed it. This is the exact report that's on kfbk.iheart.com.
I can only imagine what some of the comments are on there. I can only imagine what some of the horrible comments are. It'll swing either one way, one of two ways.
Here's the first comment. Honestly, this is too much information. His family is going through hell and don't need this information getting viewed by others. It's pretty graphic.
Well, that's gives me a little
this,
hope for
this is
minute.
This is just on the story itself. The next comment is, the people replied to that, that's what I was thinking, his private life should not be blasted on the internet. For God's sakes, he has a wife and child, just let it be. And also agreed, none of our business. Someone else said, so sad. And then the third person that they have on their actual page here, wow, sad, I can't wrap my head around this. I've done some work with him, he was a super nice man. I feel bad for his family. Prayers. Now, on the Facebook page, there were a variety of comments, and a lot of them were like that. Some of them were prefaced by, well, he was a dick, but I never met him, I don't know him, so I don't know if he was or if he wasn't.
Yeah, that's kind of vindictive.
It was incredibly unnecessary. I think it was plenty. He died of a methamphetamine overdose.
Yeah.
That's literally okay. Now I know what killed him, a 43-year-old man who looked healthy.
It's a horrible drug.
And that alone was plenty of information.
Yeah.
I did not need the anal administration. I did not need the bondage face mask.
The poppers.
Yeah. Didn't need any of that.
The throwing up into the mask.
Yeah. None of that was necessary in your news talk. By the way, this is the station that airs Rush Limbaugh.
Of course, that's why. It's a libtard. Libtard in the media.
I don't think that's it. I honestly don't think that's it. It's one of two things. I think it's either someone who just got the coroner's report came out, they picked the things that were the most, oh my God, and put those in the story, because it's a very short write-up.
Yeah.
Or there's someone at KFBK who knows Chris Burrus and doesn't like him for whatever reason.
Yeah, I think that might be it.
And that reason could be very valid, because I've heard people say very unkind things about him in the past. The thing I know Chris Burrus for the most was when there was a homeless encampment in North Natomas for a short time. And the people in the neighborhood were like, this is not okay. Because it was basically when they were driving them out of downtown and they were driving up and living near the freeway in North Natomas. And all the people had bought the houses there and they're like, no, this isn't okay. He showed up on Good Day Sacramento with a bag of McDonald's and a 12-pack of Bud Light for the homeless. And I thought, that's kind of tasteless, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, so I don't know, but that aside, this is way more information than we need, especially posted on Facebook with no warning.
Yeah.
There were, the only reason there was any semblance of a warning was that I could see the comments of people going, whoa, what the hell, man?
Yeah.
But there you go. I shared the story and I put a warning. I said, reader discretion is advised.
Yeah, that may be like, click, 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 click. How can I actually see this?
Right. Well.
And then I was like,
Yeah, it was pretty bad. It was pretty bad. But anyway, now we know. I can't imagine what his family is going through to lose someone at 43 and then to find out all of this. Now, maybe, and who knows? Maybe this was something that his wife already knew that he did on the side and was totally cool with. I don't know. I'm not in their relationship.
Right.
And that's the thing about relationships. If the people in it are cool with what's going on,
then you have
it's not everybody else's business.
Exactly.
Nobody's business but his wife's.
Exactly. So, weird choice. Really weird choice. Anywho, so you remember Ja Rule?
Yes.
How's that for a transition?
Yeah.
Speaking right. So Ja Rule, most well known for the Fyre Festival fiasco.
I thought it was the J-Lo hit.
No, it's Fyre Festival. He was invited to perform at the Milwaukee Bucks 90s night.
Oh, fuck, man.
So here's how it went. Spoiler alert, not great. Not great.
They said this is 90s night, so they brought out a 2000 artist. But my album came out in 99, so I guess that counts. Sanchez, we ready? Are we ready? I guess not.
That is karma catching up to Ja Rule in little ways.
Now, the next thing that happened during that was...
They came out and started warming up shooting free throws during his performance.
Yes.
Oh, it was the best. It was the best. So he's performing, and half of the Bucks team is out there just doing a shoot-around.
Oh, yes, he has that one song with J-Lo.
And the crowd could not be less interested.
Yeah, I would not. I would actually be throwing if it. I mean, like Milwaukee Bucks tickets probably don't cost that much money, right?
They're actually in first place.
Oh, are they?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh shit. Well, yeah. I was gonna say if I didn't think it was, I mean, like,
and
I
you're
would
in, just, and you're in Milwaukee.
I was gonna say I would just throw something on this that if I could, but I just to sacrifice my ticket. I just throw something at him.
Yeah, it was that was uncomfortable.
The Greek freak is killing the league.
That performance was almost as uncomfortable as that KFBK article.
Oh.
Yeah. Almost.
You know, and not to mention all the time he spent on Fox News. So, you know, he's not very popular in the community right now.
Listen, if you watched the Fyre Festival doc on Netflix or the other one even, and just saw some of the stuff Ja Rule said after everything went horribly, horribly wrong. And people ended up in the situations that they were, basically caused by him and his partners.
Yeah.
You have zero empathy for anything bad that happens. Well, and you may, in fact, hope that bad things happen to Ja Rule.
You're just like, oh, my gosh. It was so ridiculous. It was just like when he was like he literally said at one point, like, yeah, we get this money from these kids. Like blatantly said that, like, he wanted to defraud these people.
Yeah.
I mean, like, basically, it's like, yeah, we could.
Yeah, we're running a scam.
Yeah. It's like, oh, bro.
We're running a scam is what's happening. Yeah. By the way, if you're performing on 90s night, just shut up and play your song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come out and go, yeah, our first album came out in 99. Boom, and then go.
Don't even say what year, man. Like, you're getting paid to be there.
Yeah. Right?
So just fucking do the show,
they
man.
They gave you a Bucks jersey. You're wearing it.
50 Cent done already bought all the tickets to your front row, so you'd be empty.
Yeah. Actually, you know what happened probably is 50 probably paid everybody in there $10 to, like, just don't react to Ja at all.
Do not react to Ja Rule.
Oh man, who won that one?
Oh, who won that one?
Yeah, man, right?
That was uncomfortable. All right, it's time for a new segment that I like to call, hey, what's your NFL owner up to?
Hmm.
I know what he's not up to.
Well, we'll start with Falcons owner Arthur Blank. Well, Falcons owner Arthur Blank, he does not have a Super Bowl trophy, but he does have a brand new $180 million boat. The NFL yacht wars are in full effect because just like Jerry Jones and Dan Snyder, the mega-rich owner of the Falcons, Arthur Blank, just bought a super yacht for $180 million. It's a brand spanking new 240-foot yacht with 11 cabins holding 23 guests plus 33 crew. It's named Dreamboat with AMB in the middle capitalized. Those are his initials. Ha ha ha. There's a swimming pool and a hot tub on the ship's deck, plus a bunch of other bells and whistles. Blank's private quarters also has its own private hot tub. Now, the luxury yacht company Ocean Co. built the boat, and TMZ has told the 76-year-old Blank was very involved in the process, flying to the Netherlands several times to meet with the ship makers. Dreamboat just touched the water for the first time earlier this week and will soon undergo sea trials where they will make sure that she's seaworthy. The yacht company expects to deliver the boat to Blank just in time for summer. Now, he's just the latest NFL owner to drop hundreds of millions of dollars on a mega yacht. Redskins owner Dan Snyder threw down $100 million on a 305-foot yacht that has its own IMAX theater. Jerry Jones, or as some call him, Old Yellow Teeth, Dropped $250 million on a 357-square-foot yacht with two helipads, a steam room, a full gym, and a massage room, which he named after his wife of over 50 years and counting.
Wait. Oh, he named the boat.
He named the boat Gene Jones after his wife.
Oh, I thought you were saying he named the steam room after her at first. I was like, that's kind of fucked up, man. Like, what's he saying? She just... Oh, he's hot under the collar?
Yeah.
And
if you're a New England Patriots fan, your owner was up to getting arrested for soliciting prostitutes. I don't think he was arrested.
Oh, he should have been arrested today. He's allowed to turn himself in.
He flew back from Florida with Tom Brady today, actually.
So he went in and walked out.
Yeah, well, that was he was charged with two misdemeanors.
Yeah.
So it wasn't exactly, you know, murder. He has officially been charged with two counts of first degree solicitation. That's right. Authorities say New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft visited a Florida massage parlor for sex acts on the morning of the AFC Championship game, which he attended in Kansas City later that day. So a rub and tug in the morning in Florida and then off to Kansas City for the game. No wonder he was all smiles.
He must have thought that he was, what was that kind of player's name? There was a player for the Atlanta Falcons. The safety for the Atlanta Falcons got busted for soliciting prostitution the day before the Super Bowl.
That's one of the reasons why the Falcons don't have any rings.
Yes.
According to documents released by the Palm Beach State's Attorney's Office on Monday, it was the second visit by Kraft to the parlor in less than 24 hours. Good on you, sir, and your stamina. He's 77, by the way.
He said, I still got it.
Right? The documents say Kraft arrived at the Orchids of Asia Day Spa in a chauffeured 2015 Blue Bentley at 11 a.m. on January 20th. He was videotaped receiving oral and manual sex from a woman at the spa in Jupiter. Officials say that he gave her a $100 bill and another bill before leaving at 11:15 a.m. The championship game against the host Chiefs kicked off at 6:40. Kraft, who's the owner of the New England Revolution of the MLS, was there. He was also seen soliciting prostitution on video surveillance just 17 hours earlier and was officially charged with the two misdemeanor counts of first-degree solicitation. Court date has been set for April 24th. Kraft will have a low-level arrest warrant issued in his name. That's like a traffic ticket, basically. He'll not need to appear in court, and he's already hired an attorney, of course. If convicted, he could face 1 year in jail, a $5,000 fine, 100 hours of community service, and attendance in human trafficking dangers class. Do you think he's going to get any of those things?
No.
Yes.
The human trafficking part?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the reason why he was the first name that they brought up, and they're actually bigger fish to fry, is because the Miami Herald has been running a story for the last, I'm going to say 3 to 6 months about, I think it's Jerry Epstein, but he was
Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah. So they've been running a story about him for the last 3 to 6 months and about his connection to, I think it's Wilbur Ross or whoever
he has connections to Trump too.
Yeah. He has connections to Trump. This is a story, an ongoing story. And, so they named, Kraft now. They said that there are some bigger names in there. Bill Clinton might be in there.
Well, here's the thing. They weren't going to name him, but someone asked. Someone asked about it, and they're like, yeah.
So somebody snitched somewhere.
Now, I'm guessing somebody has a really good source. So there may be bigger names coming. There may be, by the time you hear this, there may be bigger names coming out. The NFL has said in a statement that its personal conduct policy applies equally to everyone in the NFL and will handle this allegation in the same way they would handle any issue under the policy.
I hope he has to sell a team. Here's the thing that I think is like the most horrible about this, like more than anything else, like is the fact that, first of all, it was manual sex, which means it was missionary sex.
No.
Manual.
No.
Manual is
with
hand
the hand.
Up. Is the that hand up. Hand? Yeah.
Okay. So,
there was no intercourse.
There was no intercourse.
Correct. Mm-hmm. There's video evidence that I never want to see.
Yeah.
Look for it on KFBK.com.
So here's the thing, like, regardless of that, is that this was all part of a human trafficking
investigation,
right? Yeah. Like, one of the richest men in the United States.
He's doing okay for himself.
And owner of the best football team in the United States.
Don't let Kareem hear you say that.
I'm trying not to punch him in the throat.
Don't forget to stop
it. Has been caught in a human trafficking investigation.
Sure.
Like, regardless of, like, the fact that we've called a rub and tug or that makes it okay, like, the fact that it is part of a human trafficking investigation, which means these people have been trafficked here from over state lines, like out of the side of the country, like, that's, it's so ridiculous. It just, and like, he's giving her $100. Like, just like the sheer disregard of humanity and being a human being, like, to where they don't just give a fuck at all. Like, it's so, it's so disturbing to me. And, like, nobody else, like, it's not a big deal. Like, that's not a big deal. Like, I feel like it's not, that's not being focused. I saw so many jokes and about this dude and whatnot, but, like, it's disturbing because I feel like nothing's going to happen to him. We'll be lucky if he gets some type of human trafficking charge.
Well, he's not going to get charged with human
trafficking.
No,
but I mean, like, this class, whatever. Like, I doubt, like,
he's going to have to take an awareness class. We know that. He's going to probably have to pay a fine. We know that. Other than that,
it's ridiculous.
Man. Other than it's that, ridiculous. Here's the thing. The league may do something to slap him on the hand. But that's it. They're not going to do what the NBA did to Donald Sterling.
But they did do that to the guy who owned the Panthers.
Yes. Yeah, I forget exactly what he was doing, but it was not rub and tug level.
No. But because of the story with the Herald and because of all of that's going on right now, it's not going to just go away.
Right.
So you can, it's not going to be like a quick flash in the pan. Like, this was like the story on, cause somebody posted, oh, nobody's talking about Bob Kraft. Like, no, this was a story on every major news outlet in the country on Friday.
Yeah. Everyone was talking about Bob Kraft.
I'm not talking about it, but I got
an alert from the Wall Street Journal.
Hmm.
But so I feel like there's a certain level of downplaying of the fact that there's human trafficking involved and that it's more just like a rub and tug.
No. That's not what's happening, though.
Now, that may be your friends who think they're comedians.
But every MSNBC, CNN,
ESPN,
everybody who talked about human trafficking.
TMZ.
Everybody.
All right.
Everybody that discussed it brought up the fact that there was human trafficking involved.
And that's why there was an investigation to begin with.
That's why it involved. Yeah. So nobody glossed over that as far as the news.
Yeah. You fucking throw the book at,
Well, stop getting your news from Facebook comments.
That wasn't from a Facebook comment, man.
Hey, I've got a zinger.
I'm telling you, they cut into, was it Good Morning America? So, like, they cut into the show to say, this is a news break.
Yeah, because on the West Coast, if you're not from the West Coast, they rebroadcast the morning shows.
Yeah.
So if something happens, something breaks, they actually cut into the tape and do a live update. So they did that.
Yeah. And everybody did that. It wasn't a, and like I said, everybody brought up the human trafficking part. Nobody glossed over and made a fun.
The Microsoft, what was it? Microsoft Explorer, the MSN. That's right. It was either MSNBC or it must have been an article from the Washington Post. I don't know, but like it was the breaking news article, and it just seemed like it was just. Right, because it was the breaking news article.
Right, there's not that much information.
There wasn't that much information, and it seemed like it was just like rub and tug at a massage parlor.
Yeah, no.
I
watched...
You want methamphetamine administered anally in a bondage mask, don't you?
No, it's not
Robert Kraft. That's what you want.
Yeah.
You want that version of the story.
I want the version of the story where, you know, just because somebody's really rich and powerful that they don't just get away with treating people with, like...
No, if he would, if that was the case, you would have never heard the story.
Yeah.
Well, and the other part of it is he's going to get charged with the same thing that everybody else who went in there and got that gets charged with. Because in America, you should be charged with the same thing whether you're rich or poor.
Yeah.
So he shouldn't be charged more so because he's a rich guy any more than he should get away with it because he's a rich guy.
Yeah. And like I said, I watched, I'm a news junkie. I watch news from the time I get up to probably right before I go to bed. And everybody, like I said, everybody discussed it. And then it happened so late. Well, actually, they talked about it on all of the sports shows on Friday. And then they brought it back up today, too.
Yeah.
So he didn't get a pass.
Good. All right. Well, as long as I just...
And if you
I don't want to know all the details, like I said. I just want to make sure that the law is administered fairly to him, because I feel that so often it doesn't get administered fairly.
The Epstein story.
That guy got treated like with his, like.
Right.
That guy got treated like.
No. Listen. So the Epstein story made it so that nobody's not getting off with that, is what I'm saying.
From now on.
Yeah.
From now on. After him.
And no, they're actually trying to figure out how to go back and reach and charge him. If you know.
Yeah. No, I've seen like that, but I mean, like, it's going to be difficult.
I'm telling you, go look at the Miami Herald stuff that they talk about. Like I said,
I have noticed that there's been a lot more talk about that dude lately, recently.
Cause the guy who gave him the deal is in the cabinet.
Yeah.
And so they're trying to figure out what they can do to reverse some of the deal.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see how it all shakes out, but we'll find out more going forward. I would love for the NFL to nut up and actually do something, but you know.
Well, you know, they suspended Irsay for drunk driving or.
Yeah, he was high out of his mind on pills.
Yeah, so they did that to him for that.
They suspended Tom Brady for 4 games.
Yeah, they should do something.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Not saying necessarily drum him out of the league, but I'm not saying don't drum him out of the league. You know, sometimes you got to do stuff. That's all I'm saying. And other celebrities getting arrested for things that are bad news, R. Kelly.
Oh, man, this dude.
Had his bail set at $1 million. He's pleaded not guilty. But sources connected to R. Kelly tell TMZ the singer could be behind bars until at least Tuesday, if not Wednesday. Will he be out by the time you hear this show? We don't know. The slow-moving wheels of bureaucracy. See, R. Kelly's lawyers plan on heading to the Child Support Bureau to figure out exactly how much their client owes in back pay, because he's behind on child support. Once they do that, they'll head to the bank to pull out the necessary funds to pay off the bail for that and child support payments in one shot. That technically would lift the hold put on his bond, but sources are telling TMZ that could take 24 to 48 hours.
In the meantime, women are raising money for his bail.
Yeah.
Our GoFundMe's already at $275,000.
Notice I said...
I'm just kidding.
Women are raising money for his bail.
Mm-hmm. According to the Chicago Tribune... One of the reporters, William Lee, of a Chicago court clerk's office, has received multiple calls from female fans of R. Kelly asking how they can post his bond of $1 million, which is really $100,000 because you have to pay 10% to get out of custody.
You have to have an asset worth $1 million.
He tweeted, a court clerk just told me their office was receiving calls from female R. Kelly fans wanting to know how to post bail for him. The love is real, I guess.
And you wonder why people don't take him seriously.
He has been charged with 10 counts of aggravated criminal sexual abuse. According to TMZ, 9 of the 10 counts involve alleged victims ranging from 13 to 16. One of them is the subject of 4 different counts, and there are a total of 4 alleged victims. He's pled not guilty to all 10 counts. However, the singer remains in police custody. As fans know, he's had a number of financial problems, including unpaid rent and child support. Most recently, his attorney Steve Greenberg cited mismanagement, hangers-on, and bad deals as some of the reasons Kelly really doesn't have any money to make bail. But because of this, he will continue to go back and forth between Cook County Jail and the courthouse. The next court hearing set for March 22nd. By the way, one of the victims has a lawyer you might have heard of, Michael Avenatti, who apparently has turned over another tape of R. Kelly having sex with one of the victims that is apparently more graphic than the pee tape that Kareem watched.
Really?
Yep.
Viv is trying to buy the rights.
I will.
Right now.
I will not. Well, it's child porn, so I don't think they are.
They're down.
So I will. I will say this. Ew. 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 Ew.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll go away this time.
Ah, we can only hope.
He makes some great music, won't he?
I hope they make him squeal like a pig. Just saying. But I think the thing that I found most comforting about the whole thing, and I don't really want to talk about Jussie Smollett because...
His name just needs to leave anybody's mouth.
I don't want to. And I have to find this thing on TMZ because it's amazing. There was a rapper who actually did jail time talking about, and I thought I had it bookmarked here. Oh, here it is. T. Grizzly. Are you familiar with T. Grizzly?
No.
Okay. Well, T. Grizzly did some time in jail, and he explains what R. Kelly and Jussie Smollett could expect behind bars. While at the airport, of course.
This season, get ready for more...
Oh, Ice-T has a new series. It's called In Cold Blood, on Oxygen. Weird, right?
I've watched that show.
Weird. Just saying. Oh, here we go.
Look, man, you've been down there before, all right? You've been locked up.
Yeah.
And I got to know, what word do you got to these guys? R. Kelly's about to be locked up, and so is Jussie Smollett, you know?
So I got locked up, right, for doing some crime on some street stuff, you know what I'm saying?
Because
I really ain't had nothing to do, and I had to get some money,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I was out there risking my freedom. The stuff they locked up for, or about to get locked up for, it ain't no honorable stuff.
Yeah.
You feel me? It ain't nothing that people gonna wish they didn't get locked up for, people gonna wish they was home for, or send them money because they know what they going through. Like, they really did some bullshit.
Right, right. How are they gonna get treated in there? Because, I mean, one of them is messing with kids. The other one is lying, you know, just looking like a liar. No one wanna mess with
you. You got some dudes in there that don't care, they just trying to go home. You got some dudes that prey on people like that.
Yeah.
Like, it's dudes in there like they ain't got no money. Ain't nobody sell them nothing, right?
Yeah.
And these people got money. So they gon', man, listen, y'all gotta either take care of me in here.
Right.
Or y'all gonna get butchered.
Right. So that's probably what they're gonna be approached with, right? Like, yo, as long as you take care of me, like, they'll be protected type of thing?
But they gonna have to take care of a lot of people because I can't protect you from him. He's just like me. He can't protect you from the next dude. Like,
yeah.
You're gonna end up getting butchered eventually.
Right. Any what's your advice to them?
I ain't got no advice to them. Next time around, don't do it.
So you're waiting for the big payoff of the advice? Yeah, I got no advice. Don't do it next time.
Don't do it next time.
Son of a bitch!
Actually, this is what he said after he said that. That's right.
It's like he's like, they're going to jail for some stupid shit. There's no respect.
Yeah. This is T. Grizzly.
T. Grizzly's like, I did some real shit.
Yeah, I did some crime. No, yeah, because I did some crime. These niggas prayed on my downfall. On R10, bitch, I stood tall. You did. Show these disloyal niggas how to boil. Go get a thermometer for the pot. I need this shit cooked right. Let's keep that water 400 degrees Fahrenheit. You ever been inside a federal courtroom? Nigga, you ever went to trial and fought for your life? Being broke did something to my spirit. Ass niggas deployed me. They act like they couldn't hear me. Look at me not driving German engineering. You don't want your baby mama fucked. Keep the hoe from near me. Kilroy. Remember when I used to use your... See, so he raps about what he knows. Mm-hmm. Okay, enough
he
of that.
Should stop.
He's got a song called Beef featuring Meek Mill.
Okay.
Another one featuring Offset. Another one featuring Lil Pump. Another one with Lil Yachty.
Fuck those guys.
A lot of Lils in there.
It's a lot of little bullshit.
A lot of Lils in there. A lot of Lils in there.
A lot of bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, we're running very late. All right. So let me, I'm going to make an executive decision and skip through all of this stuff and just go ahead and wrap up the show and leave you wanting more. Oh yeah, there it is.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
And for small town news, we head to Grand Forks, North Dakota.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Where Marilyn Haggerty writes, the shortest month sure feels long. The pipes freeze up. There are all sorts of issues with plumbing in this long run of bitter cold. And Tom Bach, owner of Great Plains Plumbing, says February has been a long month. After 14 years in business, he says this winter has been one of the most challenging for 10 plumbers on his staff. Vents freeze up, and Dan Parent of Waterboys Plumbing says people wonder about thawing pipes. When you hit 40 degrees below, things freeze up, he said. Come spring, he said outside faucets can cause leaks inside the house if they hadn't been shut off. David Fugelberg has worked 34 years as a plumber. For him, the years go by fast. He's fixed outside hydrants with a hose still on them in the springtime. Sewer vents on roofs sometimes freeze up, and when it's really cold, pipes freeze inside some houses. The fuck is wrong with you people living there?
No, it's too goddamn cold.
Well, okay, pipes freeze, snow piles up, but life goes on in Grand Forks. There's no school today, because Thursday and Friday were designated as conference trade days. And they coincide with the state hockey tournament in Fargo. There's action on the sports scene this weekend. There's hockey with the Hawks welcoming Duluth at the Ralph. And the last of the UND basketball is at the Betty this Saturday. Oh, by the way, Jason, pickleball is also alive and well this winter.
I just learned about pickleball.
Did
I bet you?
You
did.
Well, fuck you.
Little pickle tickleball.
No pickleball yeah, here.
When somebody tried to give me that pickle, I was like, fuck you. I don't need no pickleball.
Little pickle tickleball. Games go on between 6 and 8 p.m. Tuesday and Thursday evenings in the UND High Slop Gym. When you hear the sound of rackets hitting balls, ow, and the voices of competition, there you can look around and remember when UND basketball games were played in this place. Usually there are 24 to 30 players in action twice a week, and the games go on for men, women, young, and old. They welcome all comers. On the sidelines, you hear the talk about pickleball popularity. The courts are filled in winter vacation areas across the country, and in the summer, you hear the sounds of pickleball on 8 outdoor courts. Here's the Ask Maryland question. How long has pickleball been around? Well, they say it was invented in 1965 on Bainbridge Island. That's a short ferry ride from Seattle. Three dads whose kids were bored are credited for creating the game. Then they ask about license plates being spotted, and I'm not reading that. And will there be a UND fan luncheon today? You know, people, there's Google. You don't have to ask Marilyn this shit.
Yeah, not only that, you have to wait a week to get it.
Right? Yep, it's in the lobby of the Ralph Engelstead Arena. Speakers include coaches such as Brad Berry. Tim Hennessy will be honored for 40 years of broadcasting UND hockey. You know, sometimes I feel bad for Marilyn having to answer all this idiocy. But hey, she chose to live in Grand Forks.
And maybe she's asking the questions for herself.
Oh, that's true. That's a good point. I hadn't even thought of that.
These are questions she's asking herself.
Ooh. Hey, before we go, Kareem, what do you think of Zion Williamson blowing out his Nike?
It was a plot by Michael Jordan to make sure Carolina could win that game.
Hey, ooh, he's deep inside Nike. Jason, did you see the video?
I did not see the video. I saw a picture of what happened afterwards.
Yeah, and thoughts?
A dude is big. Like, they should have had special shoes made for him, man. Like, they most likely were special shoes for him.
I'm wearing special shoes.
That dude is huge. That dude, like, that guy is, like, I've watched a couple of games because my mother-in-law is a huge Duke fan. Like, she said when you're in North Carolina, like, there's two teams, you're either a UNC fan or you're a Duke fan.
And she's a huge Duke fan.
But that's the truth. That's what she said. Yeah. So she had to pick her team. So she's been a Duke fan for...
Huge Duke fan.
For 40 years. Huge Duke. Duke.
Hey, coming up on the show Friday. Be back with us Friday. We've got more great stuff. Something I call Goddamn Moron. Who am I talking about? Well, you'll have to tune in to find out. Plus, a man with a gorilla suit broke into a home, allegedly. And this week in Googly Eyes News.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. It's, what's Friday's show?
That was freaking crazy.
Exactly. We will see you then. Late. I was taught to handle everything, nigga. I don't play with no beef. Running this crib and kill everything living.